When the prophet Hosea and his bride-to-be Gomer, when they were dating, they had a heart-to-heart talk. Hosea said, "Honey, I got to confess, I've got an obsession with golf. Whenever I drive past a golf course, I drop whatever I'm doing and I tee it up. I've missed work, I've forgotten family commitments just to play golf, and I'm worried that my habit's going to cause some problems in our marriage." Well, Gomer didn't seem to mind. She responded, "That's okay, but since we're on the subject, I also have a confession. Hosea, you need to know I'm a hooker." Well, without any hesitation at all, Hosea replied, "Is that all? Baby, don't worry. If you'll just adjust your grip and bring your hand right over the top of the club, it'll straighten that hook right out." Well, the real Hosea was not a golfer, but the real Gomer was a hooker. Here's the ultimate odd couple, the prophet and the prostitute. In my opinion, this is one of the most bizarre storylines in all the Bible. I'm surprised Hollywood hasn't turned Hosea's story into a movie. Imagine the titles, The Minister and the Madam, The Man of the Cloth and the Lady of the Night, The Street Preacher and the Street Walker, His Light, Red Light. This is the type of movie you'd expect to see run on television during Sweeps Week. But this story is more applicable to us than we might first assume. It's an amazing story of the power of forgiveness. Hosea's marriage is an illustration of God's dealings with Israel. You see, God loved the nation, even when they went after other gods, idols, and were spiritually unfaithful to Him. And God's forgiveness of Israel was mirrored in Hosea's forgiveness of his wife. In fact, even after Hosea marries Gomer, she reverts back to her evil ways, and God asks him to forgive his wayward wife. Again, it's an amazing example of God's forgiveness. I think the reason, though, that many marriages come off the rails is because of unforgiveness. Spouses commit far less grievous acts than Gomer's sexual promiscuity, but the offended spouse just won't forgive, and it stunts the marriage. Well, here in chapter 1, God gives Hosea a strange command. Let me read it to you out of the Living Bible. "Go and marry a girl who is a prostitute, so that some of her children will be born to you from other men. This will illustrate the way my people have been untrue to me, committing open adultery against me by worshiping other gods." Hey, this was definitely not a minister's first choice for a mate. Hosea wanted a faithful, happy family life, where his kids would be taught to love the Lord and obey the scriptures. Hosea needed a godly, not a gaudy gal. Yet Hosea obeyed God's command. The scripture tells us he took Gomer, the daughter of Diblaim, and she conceived and bore him a son. Oh, perhaps their early years were good ones. Maybe Gomer was touched by her husband's tenderness. You know, they say the birth of a baby will change a person's life. It could be she was even drawn to God. Oh, but it didn't take long for her superficial faith to deteriorate and for Gomer to revert back to her old habits. The couple have three children, and Hosea names his last Lo-Ami, which means not my child. He realized he wasn't even the boy's father. By this time, Hosea knows that he's sharing a bed with a woman who's sleeping around. Finally, Gomer leaves. Hosea comes home one day to three unsupervised children. She just walked out. You know, chapter 2 implies that Gomer's reasons for flying the coop were materialistic. Rather than live in a cul-de-sac, Gomer wanted to live in the fast lane. Hosea was a man of humble means. Gomer traded love for luxury. Go, go, girl Gomer was more hip-hop than housewife. Of course, no matter her reasons, it didn't shelter Hosea from a broken heart. He really loved his wife. Yet when Gomer left, Hosea let her go. He didn't try to clamp down. He let her go, but he didn't give up. I'm sure he prayed and hoped that one day she would return. And that day finally came. Hosea heard the news that his wife was up for sale at the slave auction. Gomer had hit rock bottom. She ended up in a slave market. You know, you hear a lot today about sex trafficking, but it's nothing new. Here it had happened to a pastor's wife. That's what's strange about it. How Gomer fell so far, we don't know. She must have sold herself to a pimp who used and abused her until there was nothing left. But when word got to Hosea that his wife was for sale, God spoke to his heart. Listen to God's words to him in chapter 3, verse 1. God speaks to his servant Hosea. Go again, love a woman who is loved by a lover and is committing adultery, just like the love of the Lord for the children of Israel who look to other gods. Hosea went down to the market. He cried as he watched his precious bride inspected like a head of cattle. Historical sources tell us that these slave markets were barbaric, brutal. Humans were treated like livestock. Slaves stripped on the auction block and sold naked. Imagine watching your wife standing naked in front of a courtyard full of rowdy men. Pastor Hosea could barely watch as his wife made her appearance. Chapter 3, verse 2 tells us that Hosea entered the bidding and he bought Gomer for a homer. Actually, he paid 15 shekels and a homer and a half of barley. According to Exodus 21, verse 32, this was far less than the 30 shekels normally paid for a slave. It seems sin had taken its toll on Gomer. When she bailed on her family and marriage, she thought it would make her life better and happier. But the opposite was the result. She was now a walking corpse, just a shell of the lady who'd been Hosea's beautiful bride. Imagine Hosea. He approaches the platform. He puts his cloak over her shoulders to shelter her nakedness. He dries her tears. He loosens her chains. He wraps his arm around her and escorts her through the jeering crowd. Gomer comes home. Here is pure forgiveness. The only example I can think of that is as powerful is when Jesus brought us home from the slave market of sin. Realize, according to that day's custom, Gomer is now Hosea's slave. He can do with her as he pleases. You know, I read of a woman in Georgetown, Guyana, who found her husband in bed with another woman. Her husband physically attacked her. She took him to court. The good judge punished the man by sentencing him to be his wife's slave for 2 weeks. He told her, "For 2 weeks, your husband is at your beck and call. He is your slave. Anything you want him to do, he has to do." Husband, wife, what would you do if your spouse was made your slave for 2 weeks? Would you make them pay you back for the way they have treated you? What form of slow, painful punishment would you devise? How would you seek to make their life miserable? I've heard forgiveness defined as having the ability to repay a hurt, yet forgoing my right to do so. You see, this was the situation between Hosea and Gomer. She was his slave now. He could do to her whatever he pleased, and guess what he chose to do? He forgave her. True forgiveness is having it within your power to pay someone back for the evil they've done and instead show them mercy. One author defines it, forgiveness is surrendering my right to hurt you for hurting me. If you haven't discovered it yet, the biggest key to a successful marriage is learning to bury the hatchet, learning forgiveness. Husbands and wives have to forgive. It's been said, every marriage is made up of two sinners. A good marriage is made up of two forgivers. Once a man said to his friend, "Often my wife, she just goes berserk. I mean, she completely loses it, man. She gets historical." His buddy said, "Oh, you mean hysterical." "Well, that too," he said, "but I mean historical. She starts digging up the past." Why is it we have a hard time forgiving our spouse? You know, one day the disciples came to Jesus and asked him, "How often should we forgive? Up to 7 times? Well, they thought 7 times was above and beyond the call of duty. But Jesus said, "I do not say to you up to 7 times, but up to 70 times 7. In other words, don't worry about keeping count. And this is how we need to forgive our spouse. "Oh, but Pastor Sandy, if I keep forgiving him, he'll think he can get away with whatever he wants. Or if I keep forgiving, it's like putting my stamp of approval on what she does. Or, I just can't take another hurt. If I forgive him, then I can no longer justify my plans to leave him. We can list all kinds of excuses for withholding forgiveness from our spouse, but none of our excuses would be as legitimate as what Hosea could muster. And yet God spoke to him and told him, go again, love a woman. And perhaps God is speaking the same to you this evening. He's giving you those instructions. Go again and forgive your spouse. Love them again and work things out. Don't misunderstand. Forgiveness isn't pretending that nothing happened. Hosea didn't forgive Gomer, bring her home, and try to take up where they left off. Much damage had been done, and time was needed to make repairs. It would take months, if not years, for Gomer to prove the genuineness of her repentance, to rebuild the trust that she'd lost through her sin. Hosea's willingness to forgive didn't mean that he was ready to just rush right in and start over from scratch. No, in chapter 3, verse 3, Hosea lays out some ground rules for Gomer. He says, you shall stay with me many days. You shall not play the harlot, nor shall you have a man. Thus I will also be towards you. He's saying, at first, we're not going to sleep together. I've been hurt and I need time to heal. Hosea's forgiveness didn't exclude Gomer from having to prove her faithfulness and show him her sincerity. It just allowed her an opportunity to do so. Forgiveness doesn't mean you have to stay with an abusive spouse or that God expects you to tolerate an adulterous spouse, but it does mean that you need to be willing to show mercy to a truly repentant spouse. True forgiveness is saying, I'm going to give you an opportunity to show me that you're sincere. I'll stick with you while you regroove some new patterns in your life. Listen to the testimony of a woman who refused her husband a second chance. It's a sad story. She writes, I caught my husband making love to another woman. He swore it would never happen again. He begged me to forgive him, but I could not. I would not. I was so bitter, I could think of nothing but revenge. I was going to make him pay and pay dearly. I would have my pound of flesh. I filed for divorce, even though the kids begged me not to. After the divorce, my husband tried for 2 years to win me back. I refused to have anything to do with him. He'd struck first, now I was striking back. All I wanted was to make him pay. Finally, my ex-husband gave up and married a lovely young widow with a couple of small children. He began rebuilding his life without me. I see them occasionally, and he looks so happy. They all do. And here I am, a lonely, old, miserable woman who allowed her selfish pride and foolish stubbornness to ruin her life. You know, guys, it's been said, to forgive is to set a prisoner free and to discover all the while that prisoner was me. Let me say, at times forgiveness isn't just tough, it's impossible. This is why we need the Holy Spirit. Notice what God told Hosea. Go again, love a woman who is committing adultery, just like the love of the Lord for the children of Israel. You see, only God has the kind of love in abundance that can forgive such sin. And He wants to share it with you. He wants to see your marriage succeed, and thus He'll supply all the love help your marriage needs. A proud man once said to John Wesley, Sir, I never forgive. Well, Wesley replied, then I hope you never sin. We who have been forgiven so much, so freely, how can we withhold forgiveness from someone else, even our spouse? Husband, forgive your wife. Wife, forgive your husband. Let the love of Jesus rise up within you and drown out the painful memories. If Hosea could forgive Gomer, I dare say that you can forgive your spouse.